You're listening to a message that was preached at Temple Baptist Church in Salem, Virginia. We believe that God's Word provides the foundation that we're to build our lives and homes upon. We sincerely hope that this message from God's Word will be a help and an encouragement to all who listen.
Chapter 17. We're continuing this series tonight on the names of God. I'm grateful for all the names we find in the Word, revealing His nature, His attributes, His character. And we consider another one this evening. And it's found here in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Now we'll read several verses here. And I want to make just a few statements. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He had a very difficult message to deliver. Jeremiah loved his land or his nation, Judah, but he loved God much more. I would say, I hope that's the same for us this evening. We love our nation, but we love God much more. I love this land that God has allowed us to live in. I believe it's a great opportunity that we have, that God has given us in this land. We have freedom to worship. We have great opportunity to go to various parts of the world to share the gospel with others. What a blessing that is. But we, in spite of loving our country more than God, we need to love God more than country. And Jeremiah loved Judah, but he loved God much more. And as painful as it was for Jeremiah to deliver a consistent message of judgment to his own people, Jeremiah was obedient to what God had told him to do and what God had told him to say. We'll begin reading this evening in verse 1. The Word of God says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Why must their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills? O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue in thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers, or by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." I draw attention this evening to verses 7 and 8, and we'll look at some other verses here in this chapter. But the Bible said in verses 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, or whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Again, as we said a moment ago, Jeremiah had a very difficult task. His task was to deliver the message of judgment, the word of God, to a land that he loved tremendously. This message, again, was primarily a message of judgment on Judah for their ridiculous or rampant idolatry. Just a few references regarding their idolatry and the things that brought this to pass we find in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 30 through verse number 34. The Bible said, "The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hemon, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the sons of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall burn or bury in Tophet till they be no place. And the carcass of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate." We're reading Jeremiah 16, verses 10 through 21. God again reiterating what has come to pass that brings on the current situation that they find themselves in. And then we read in Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 9, "Then shall they answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshiped other gods and served them." Again, God reiterating the cause of the actions that's taking place here. You see, after the death of King Josiah, which was really the last righteous king the nation of Judah had, the nation of Judah had almost completely abandoned God and abandoned his commandments. As a matter of fact, it's so bad in their abandonment that Jeremiah refers or compares Judah to a prostitute. We read in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 20, "For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot." They had two loves. They loved God, but they loved self more. They loved God. They wouldn't deny God. They wouldn't deny loving God, but they loved themselves more. It's a dangerous thing to get to the place that we place self above God. As a matter of fact, in this chapter, God references that. We'll look at that, Lord willing, in just a moment. We must keep in mind that God had promised to judge idolatry in a very severe way. Over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, the Bible tells us in verse 31, "And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." God was telling the children of Israel at that time the response that he was would have toward idolatry. And now Jeremiah is called upon to sound the words of warning that Judah is ready to experience God's judgment, or God's judgment was at hand. I want to say just a few statements about the situation we see in our land today. Though we may not be bowing down to some carved or in some graven image, for the most part, we've replaced God with other things. It may be self. It may be a hobby or a habit. It may be a job. It may be even people that we love dearly. God has said, "I'll have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God." We're living in a time, we're living in a day and age and a society where many live for self and self alone. And I would say the message that Jeremiah delivered would be appropriate to be delivered today. I want you to see just a few things from, or just two things actually from this. We'll make some applications and some other statements as we look at this. But I want you to notice, first of all, the problem. The problem. Again, the Bible tells us in the first four verses of this 17th chapter, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the spear, or with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Now as we consider these words here, we see first of all the problem. Their sin was too plain to be denied, and it was too bad or too grievous to be excused. By the way, God does not excuse sin. He'll by no means clear the guilty. There are many today that live their life as if there is no tomorrow. There are many that believe that God will wink at the wrong that they do. I want to remind you, God will not wink at any wrong, regardless of how insignificant it may seem to us, or how gray of an area it may be. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Their sin was too plain to be denied. As a matter of fact, the Bible said they were written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond upon the table of their heart. They were not only written upon their heart, they were also written on the horns of their altar. I can see in my mind's eye the altar that one time was used to serve God, to burn the sacrifice upon, that was an honor to God and a sweet savor to God, now being stained and cursed by the idol worship. Keep in mind what's transpired. We read a moment ago, they were literally killing their own children. God said, I never asked them to do that. That never even entered my heart. And now it's stained with the blood of their children. Idol worship. The Bible said your sin is written upon your heart with an iron pen with the point of a diamond. In other words, it's engraved there. Oh, I believe we can sear our conscience, but I believe in the back of our mind we still know right and wrong. We may sear our conscience, but God has designed us in such a way still to know right and wrong. Our seared conscience may justify our wrong, but we still know it's wrong. The blood of their idolatrous sacrifice was there on that altar to serve as a testimony against them. May I say, it's a dangerous thing to try to make righteous wrong of wrongs. It's a dangerous thing to try to justify our wrong as righteousness. Oh, they would say, we're offering sacrifices. But God said, that never even entered my mind. Your behavior and your actions. It's a real problem. But I want to remind you, not only was it a problem, there was a price tag attached. Never forget it. There's always a price attached to sin. It'll cost you far more than you ever want to pay. Notice again, if you would, in verses 3 and 4. Here's the price. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasure to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Notice the price that's involved in their sin. God said, you're going to serve your enemies in a land that you don't even know about. You're going to serve those that despise you and use you. That's who you're going to serve. You've kindled a fire against me, or in mine anger, and it's going to burn forever. Woe to the man that kindles a fire in his anger. I truly believe that this nation we live in has got some seeds we're going to reap that we certainly do not want to. You can't take the lives of innocent babies in the wombs of ladies or women and not expect to reap the results of that. There's a price tag attached to foolishness. There's a price attached to sinful behavior. And because of the deeds and the actions of the people of Judah, God said, my hand of judgment's falling. You've started a fire and it's going to burn forever. That was the problem. But I want you to notice secondly here, there's a ray of hope, and I'm grateful for it. We see here some principles. I'll draw attention to these. There's three in particular I want to draw to our attention. We've seen the problem. I want us to see the principles. The Bible said in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath of in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers, or by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? The Lord searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Notice the principles here. Even in this message of warning, God is still teaching them truth. I want to say tonight, we have a wonderful Savior. I'm grateful for the patience of God. If it wasn't for the patience of God, we'd be men and women most miserable. And God, in sending this man to offer these words of warning, also offers them words of comfort and help. I see here three principles. Principle number one, cursed is the man that trusteth in men, or trusts in men. That trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. To summarize that principle, we see the character of worldly confidence. Man replacing God. Notice again what he said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. God reminds them of the danger of placing confidence and trust in man. I want to say as kindly but as directly as I can, man will let you down because we're frail people. You better not place much confidence in people because you're going to be discouraged the rest of your life. God, through this message that Jeremiah is delivering, said, cursed is the man that trusts in men. Cursed is the man that makes flesh his arm, or his effort is a fleshly effort. His strength is fleshly in design and effort. I want to say this evening, whatever it is that you and I attempt on our own is destined for failure. Anything we attempt with a worldly twist or with a worldly means is dangerous and foolish. Cursed is the man that makes flesh his arm. Cursed is the man whose heart departs from the Lord. You say, that's simple. I'm glad that it is. There's nothing complicated about this. God said, I want to give you some principles. Principle number one, it's a foolish thing. You're a cursed individual. Those who trust in men and make flesh his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. With every principle, there's a promise. Never forget it. I've often said it this way, with every promise, there's a prerequisite. With every principle, there's a promise. The promise we find to this first principle, the Bible said in verse number 6, for he shall be as a tree, or excuse me, he shall be, in verse number 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Again, notice here the promise that goes along with that principle. Shall be like the heath in the desert. Some may not be familiar with that word heath. It was a little shrub that would only grow in a desert land. It's a sorry looking thing. It's a product of a barren ground, a sapless, useless, worthless plant. That's what the Bible says, the promise to those who make the principle of their life to trust in men and make flesh their means of work. Be like the heath in the desert. He goes on to say they will not see when good comes. They're going to inhabit the parched places. And they're going to live or inhabit the desolate wastelands, the salt land. Nothing would grow there. A desolate place. Those who trust in men, that's where you're headed. Those who make the flesh their effort and make the work of the flesh their effort, that's where you're headed. There are a lot of churches today who are doing things in the flesh, and that's where they're at tonight. Oh, they may be running a great number of people, but I want to tell you, there's nothing there but the heath. A worthless plant. A dry land. A desolate land. That's where they're at. A dangerous place to be. A dangerous place to be. That first principle, trusting men, the promise, is desolation. I see a second principle here, and it's a principle of hope. Notice, if you would, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The second principle we find here is not trusting men, but trusting God. Trust in the Lord, and not man, and what man can do. I said a moment ago, it thrills my heart to see how the Lord's working. You say, can you put your finger on it? No, I can't. Other than the Lord. I say tonight to this church and to your pastor, we need not trust in men, we must trust in God. We must trust in God. Trust in the Lord, and not man, or what man can do or provide. The Bible uses the word blessed, not cursed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. I say tonight, as we're thinking about the names of God, I'm grateful for hope. I'm grateful for hope. I still believe there's hope. I believe there's hope for this land. I believe there's hope for this community. I believe there's hope for homes that are hurting. I believe there's hope. Where is it found? Hope the Lord is. It's not in and of ourselves. Cursed is the man that trusteth in men. But blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. The promise we find attached to that principle. The Bible said it'd be like a tree that's planted by the waters. They'll not see the heat. That tree's leaf shall be green. There's no worry or care in the year of drought. And she, that tree, will consistently yield fruit. I say tonight, that's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. Those whose hope the Lord is. I ask tonight, is your hope? Is the Lord your hope? Or are you trying to figure it all out yourself? You say, well, I gotta know exactly what's happening. I want to tell you, give it to the Lord. He knows what's happening. He's already got it figured out. And He doesn't need our input or advice. The first principle involves a curse. The second principle involves a blessing. The Bible says, blessed are those that trust in the Lord. Blessed are those that trust in the Lord. I'll draw attention to a third principle we see in this passage, and that regards our heart. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Understand tonight, we're not to trust our heart, we're to trust the Lord. I hear people say all the time, I'm just trusting my heart. That's a very dangerous thing to do, because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. Understand this as we think about the promise associated with this principle. The Bible says, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Notice here, God says, I know your heart. I try the heart. Now, as I close this and kind of draw it to a conclusion, this message was given to a wicked group of people. Idolatry was running rampant. But I do believe there were a few good folks there. Not everyone, I believe, was involved. You say, what's that got to do with us? We live in a wicked world. But I'm grateful for those who do right. Those who do right. And God says, I know your heart. I know your heart. I try the reins. And I'm going to reward you according to your fruit. I say tonight as I close, regardless of how difficult it may get, regardless of what we may reap as a nation because of our turning our back on God, God still knows those who love Him. God still rewards those according to their fruit. And God is still our hope. He's our hope. He's our only hope. You say, well, it seems awful bleak today. It does seem awful bleak, but we have a great God who knows His people and He'll take care of them. What an encouragement that is to my heart. What an encouragement it is to know that the Lord, He is hope. Despite the condition, the Lord was still giving them truth. Despite the condition, the Lord was giving them opportunity to do right. But remember, our hope is not in ourselves or others. Our only hope is the Lord. He's it. He's our only hope. You say, you know, if we could get some of these folks making laws that love the Lord, I think that'd be a great thing. But my hope's not in politicians. My hope's in the Lord. You say, well, if we could just get everybody to love the Lord, that would be a wonderful thing. But my hope's not in that. My hope's in the Lord. My hope, the Lord is. I'm grateful that God is a God of hope. You say, well, I know there are people here tonight who have those that are dear to their heart. Some are lost. Some are wayward. Don't give up hope. As long as there's a God in heaven, hope, the Lord is.
Thank you for listening to this message, which was preached at Temple Baptist Church in Salem, Virginia. We hope that God has used it to speak to your heart. If there's anything that we may do for you, or if there are other messages that you would like to order, you may do so through our website. The address is www.templebaptch.com.